These are the Kaishi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Kaishi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Welcome to the Kaishi Tapes podcast. I'm John Hewlett. Favaz is there with you. And this is episode 107, and it's a very recent interview that Favaz did with Sammy Hagar.
Yes, it was one that I did last week, and it was mainly to promote his pay-per-view that he did. He recorded a show on the beach at Catalina Island, mm-hmm. and they did a pay-per-view in place of what he does in Cabo. At the cantina at his place because of COVID shut it down. Well, didn't exactly shut it down, but he couldn't have the amount of people there that he wanted, that he normally does. So that was, you know, the main reason why he was calling. But we also had him because Eddie Van Halen died the week before. Mm-hmm. And of course, he was in Van Halen forever. So he was going to talk about Van Halen too. And he does. And he gave us a Kaishi exclusive. At least he says he is. And I kind of believe him. And it was fun to, always fun to talk to him.
All right, so here we go. This is Favaz with Sammy Hagar. Last week, October the 15th.
It was that Thursday.
Yeah, 2020.
That was the guy. You'll have until 8 minutes after.
Stop.
Go ahead.
I'm ready. So that's the guy from Premier Radio Networks. He's the guy that says, "Hey, you have this long." You know, mm-hmm. and so he said 8 minutes. I actually ended up having 10.
Yeah.
So.
And at the end, you'll hear him say, "Hey, wrap it up, guys."
Kind of. You can hear him in the background. So
there he is.
Hi, Sammy.
Wait, guy. You don't go by guy. That's my buddy Guy Fieri. No, you're Favaz. Let's get this straight.
All right.
If I call you guy,
does feel odd to call you guy. When I call you guy, it's weird.
You never do.
No.
No, and I wouldn't want you to.
Matter of fact, I have various versions of Favaz.
Mm-hmm.
Faz, Fozzie, Fozzery, Fozzie Bear,
Fozzie,
Fozzer, Faz,
Favaz.
I do that too.
Yes, you do.
Whatever comes out on a given moment, I just throw it out there. It seems to work.
Confused to say some weird stuff to you.
I'm good. It would sound very weird coming from you if you call me guy. I will just say that. So, first of all, happy late birthday.
Thank you. I'm in Cabo, and, you know, we can't celebrate the same way because of the, you know, the social distancing, the restrictions at the cantina. So we have capacity people at about 150 instead of 700, and with about 500-600 people out front all every day.
I'm surprised that they're sticking to any kind of rules in Mexico, because Mexico, to me, is a lawless country, and at least in my mind, it seems to be.
Yeah, it kind of with me, too. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we didn't go because, because we think that, kind of, you know, we were going to travel out of the country and, you know, what are their stipulations for COVID and all that, and they have some.
Yeah. So. That's the more sane side of the country, isn't it? The more civilized, is that a terrible
thing?
It's
at the tip of the, it's at the tip of the Baja. I don't exactly know.
Because I hear people say it is more Americanized.
Well, it's touristy. It's very touristy.
Very touristy.
It didn't used to be that way, but yeah.
So I haven't been playing. I just did a little acoustic thing. For my birthday in the afternoon, a surprise for the 150 that were sitting there eating and drinking in the afternoon, which was kind of unusual for us.
I saw that. Yeah, it was cool.
Pay-per-view last week.
Yeah. Right.
And it was really cool. But that's why we recorded and filmed the pay-per-view last week in Catalina. You know, we had a deserted part of the island where there's very little. It's like they just have a little snack bar and a beach where boats pull up, you know, to a dock.
Right.
And they can get about 250 boats in there, so we set up there and built the stage, and so it was like a big production, like, you know, we were going to play there for a month or something. We built it all week, you know, turning a beach into a stage wasn't easy. But
I wonder if that was financially worth doing.
Sounds like an expensive. I would love to know the numbers.
Yeah.
On that.
On the pay-per-view?
On the pay-per-view. Because it was $49.95, something like that, to get it.
Boy, I just can't imagine being that big.
I had a conversation with somebody that is a redhead that was on one of the trips. And I was like, that's just not me. I mean, I wouldn't buy a pay-per-view for Sammy Hagar. I wouldn't buy it for a lot of bands that I really like.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just wouldn't do it.
Even for sporting events.
Yeah.
I like to see, but I'm like, I don't want to pay $50 for it.
Yeah.
Got it done and did it.
I am a cheap bastard.
Fantastic. I mean, I'm telling you, guy. I don't think I mean, I think I got to do this every year, not necessarily for the birthday bash, but for something, because, man, this was a blast. It was like, instead of a drive-in theater, it was a boat-in. It was a sail-in. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Awesome.
We've had those at the amphitheater here where you play in St. Louis. We've had drive-ins where the band will set up on a stage in the parking lot and people will drive and they'll get the spot next to them to, you know, to hang out and stuff. This was a boat-in. People pulled in. You did the show, and it's available this weekend at nugs.tv. And if you're a redhead, you get $5 off.
Nugs.tv.
That's the name of the website. Nugs. Yeah. I bought a Springsteen rarity off of there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. It wasn't a pay-per-view. It was a show.
Now, this is up against the ocean, right? Or is it a cove?
It's a cove.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, if it's ocean, boats are, you know, sitting there and they're bouncing around.
No,
the
they're
waves.
Not. They weren't bouncing.
No, okay. No.
You put in your code, correct?
How do you prove you're a redhead?
That's a good question.
You got to show your Sammy Hagar tickets that you've had. You got about three. You have to have seen 100 shows in your life.
No, you got to expose your crotch.
Oh, is that it, John?
That's how you prove you're a redhead,
okay.
Right?
Oh. Yeah. Ba-dum-bum.
Sammy thought it was funny.
Yeah, he did. It's kind of crazy, I know.
And you thought it was crazy.
It's great.
Well,
I watched it, and it was really... really filmed really well, and the ambience of being on this beautiful island and no people, you know, I mean, a few people.
Island?
Catalina Island.
Oh.
But not like, you know.
I was saying, Baja's a peninsula.
Right. Well, he's not there. Remember, he's talking about where he filmed this was in California.
Oh, I thought he was down there filming
it. No, he filmed this in California.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll catch on eventually. Yeah, okay. How much more time
Come on,
we got
wake
here?
Up, wake
okay,
up, wake up.
Still got
wake
7 minutes.
Wake up and go to sleep.
A regular concert is like a little scattered people on the beach. They allowed about 50 to 100 people to be on the beach in front of us, between us and the ocean. And then you look out in the ocean and people are diving off their boats and just partying. I mean, it was like in dinghies pulling up, you know, right up to the beach. I tell you, it was a hell of a beach party. I'll be throwing more of those. I learned something.
Good. We were supposed to be down there with you, a few of us from Casey, and about over 300 St. Louisans bought into the trip. But hopefully we'll save it for your 75th birthday in a couple of years. Does that sound all right?
Oh, boy. Yeah, if I'm still upright. You know, all this COVID crap is driving me nuts, because I'm saying to myself, you know, guys like me and few of us out there, we're going, hey, listen, I don't know how many more years I can do this.
Right.
I'll do it as long as I can.
He's about to make a point that I've been making for a while here.
Yeah.
About the time is ticking on these older rockers, you know. And it is. It's very frustrating for them to have to just sit low right now, because they're in their final stretch. You
right.
know?
He makes a point here.
Yeah.
Sure. And I want to do it for the rest of my life. But you don't know how many years your body's going to say, sure, you can just keep doing this. And then to take a year off at this stage in my game, no, I did that back in my 40s and 50s, taking a year off here and
right,
there.
Right.
Now, I can't do that anymore. I got to get as many shows as I can possibly get in out there.
I hear you. Make as much money as I can.
Well, yeah, there's that, too. He doesn't need money, so
I know.
He's doing it, obviously, because he loves doing it, and he realizes, you know, he doesn't have much time to do it.
Let's talk about Eddie Van Halen real quick, because
Eddie
I know
Hagar
I'm...
Mad.
Or, so,
can you imagine that, Pavaz? Sammy Hagar mad. Can you imagine that?
I've seen you mad once. I've seen you mad once. And I'll tell you, it actually has to do with Van Halen. It was back in the day when I was asked to change shirts when I did the interview with you and Alex in Oklahoma City when you wrote about that night in your book. So anyway.
So refresh
people's memories who may not who have heard it but don't remember it, and people who've never heard it before. What happened that night?
Okay, so in the Sammy Hagar, Alex Van Halen, Casey tapes that we just redid a couple weeks ago, in it I told the story that I went down to Oklahoma City to see the band to get fired up and say, hey, what a great show it was. You know, they're going to be in St. Louis. And I was supposed to interview, and I did interview, Alex and Sammy together. I had a red Cabo Wabo shirt on.
And that interview is on our podcast. You can find it.
Yes. So the manager came up to me before they got there and said, would you mind, I'll never forget it, keeping world peace and changing your shirt? I had no idea what he meant. And I don't think I knew what he meant even after the interview, right after the interview. And it was because it had Cabo Wabo. The brothers, Alex and Eddie, did not like any sort of mention of Cabo Wabo, Cabo, anything. Sammy couldn't wear it on stage. That's why he got the tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, well, what are you going to do? Here's my tattoo, you know?
Yeah.
But he couldn't wear any Cabo shirts or anything like that. So I switched shirts with the promoter, Joe Litvag, who is roughly my same size. And I wore his shirt and he wore mine. And we did the interview with, I had this brown shirt on, collared shirt, and we did the interview and that was that. So I told Sammy about that in Cabo, you know, like 5 or 6 months later, and he was really pissed. I've got that interview somewhere. Mm-hmm. We'll do it sometime. But he was like, I would have punched somebody right there. That was the only time I saw him, you know, angry.
And that's what you were referencing here
in
this interview.
Yes, I was.
Let you wear the shirt backstage.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, now you remember. All right, so wait.
God rest Eddie's soul, man.
Yeah, Eddie passes away last week, and I think we were all relieved to find out that you and him had a relationship again. You were texting one another. Who reached out to whom first?
I reached out to Eddie because this is the first time you're going to hear this. George, I saved this for you. George Lopez, the comedian, who I've known for a long time and who also is dear friends with Eddie, calls me up and says, Sammy, I need you to call Eddie. I played golf with him. You know, he's not doing good, blah, blah, blah. And everyone knew Eddie wasn't doing good. But he said, and I just was with him, and he said he loves you, and he's like so disappointed that you haven't reached out to him. I said, George, I reached out to all these other people. You know, I reached out to Alex. I didn't have Eddie's contact number, you know, but I reached out to all these people, tell Eddie I love him, hope he's doing well, and so George says, here's his number, call him. So I call him, and Eddie said, it's my favorite line from Eddie in a long time. He goes, what took you so long? I said, you fucker. I'm going, I reached out to Al, I reached out to everybody. He's going, you didn't call me. And I said, oh man, Ed, I love you. And it was just one big love fest from then on. It was back in the beginning of the year before COVID, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, we've been texting.
George Lopez. Neither of us like George Lopez as a comedian.
Yeah, I don't think he's very funny.
I don't think he's very funny.
Seems like a great guy, but I just.
But he's the guy. Yeah. He was the conduit, if you will, between Sammy and Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? And really, 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 you know, talking about Wolfie and his new record and about us and the things we did and, you know, how great the stuff is and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, it's really a sad thing. It was a tough one, but if I wouldn't have contacted Ed and we buried the hatchet like that and became friends again, I'm not sure how I could have taken it. It would have been devastating to say, you know, here, how am I going to patch this up? You know. Anyway, so it was a good thing. Very, very soulful, and I'm really coming to terms with it now.
Right.
And it is what it is. You know what I mean?
It's like, had Michael Anthony... Did Michael Anthony, your buddy, reach out to Eddie, too? Or did he have any kind of relationship with him in the end? So I know Sammy knows the answer to this question, and he kind of alludes to it, but he plays dumb here. Mm-hmm. But I know for a fact, I mean, I don't know for a fact, but I would assume strongly that he knows the answer to this question.
Okay. Now, there supposedly was some contact between the Van Halen group and Michael Anthony. Last spring,
right,
about
when they were
him rejoining the band.
Yeah, they were going to do a stadium tour. It was going to be huge.
Yeah.
And but the question that I asked here, did Eddie and Sammy, or did Eddie and Michael patch things up, and were they friends last year or so?
I have. You'd have to ask Mike that. I don't think so. But Eddie told me a million times, give Mike my love or something. And but I'm not sure they communicated. I don't think so. It's probably not.
He said he didn't think so.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think he knew.
Oh.
The thing that I'll tell you is that is what, when we did the pay-per-view, the first day was a rehearsal. And it was 2 days after the news. It was the day after the news.
Right.
And then we did this. We had to do a dress rehearsal. We were playing the whole show. And Mike and I were dragging ass. You know, we were just sitting there going, God, this is going to be so tough. You know, this isn't a good, this is some bad timing if we ever, you know, witnessed it. And so, you know, with no people there, just, you know, we were just out there playing on a desert island, which would have been the most fun I've ever done in my life, but under circumstances. So anyway, right before the song Right Now, I said, let's do a moment of silence. Mm-hmm. The people that were there, and all the workers, the boats, the four or five boats that were out there, whatever. I said, let's have a moment of silence. I didn't say why, so I think we all understand why before this next song. And it's on the picture. You'll see it. Whatever I said, it was something like that.
I saw
it. And the place just went so quiet.
You saw it where?
They should. That was a preview that they showed before the pay-per-view. I saw it that few days after it actually happened. Hmm. You know,
I mean, it seemed like the waves stopped lapping. You know what I mean?
Wow.
On the shore, and it's like, and about 30 seconds in, I pointed to the sound guy. He hit the piano, and wow, when I heard that piano to Right Now,
mm-hmm.
it just dawned on me that song and all the Van Halen songs we wrote, and the wrote, not just me, you know, the Roth era, all the Van Halen catalog is immortal. It lives forever.
Yep.
It's like, there it is. I hear the music and you go, oh no, there it is. And, you know, but we are not. And as human beings, we all are going to go. And so, It made so much sense to me. I sang that song that day.
That the music is going to outlive the
everybody.
Artist.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's right about that.
Yeah, he is.
Like, I've never sang it in my life, except I'll sing it for the rest of my life. And I just realized, you know, I'm so grateful to have been in a band with Eddie for 11 years and make all that great music that'll play forever. And, telling you, the music is immortal. And it's just so awesome. So anyway,
so it hit him hard that
during
music,
rehearsal,
that he realized, yeah, wow, that music just outlived Eddie, and eventually it's going to also outlive me.
Yeah.
That really helped me come to terms. And Mikey, he looked at me when that piano part came in and went, damn, okay.
we
have a job to do. You know,
I understand. Did you hear that? The guy was saying, gotta go.
Gotta go.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
So that was my cue to wrap it up. My time is up, yeah. Sam. So I just want to say thanks for coming on with us. And I'm glad you and Eddie reconnected. And I hope Al is doing the best that he can be doing right now. And we'll see you in St. Louis when you get here next year.
Yes, sir. You will. All right, Pavon. Saturday night, we'll see you on pay-per-view. Order your booze online. Order your friends over. Get yourself some tacos or some leaf chips and salsa. Crank it up and watch that damn pay-per-view. It's awesome. It's the best we can give you right now. The whole world gets to see the birthday bash. Peace and love. Bye.
All right. See you, Sammy.
Yeah, good interview. Yeah, got a lot of good stuff out of him, a lot of great comments from him. And that part there about the music outliving him and Eddie and all of them, hitting him between the eyes when he heard that song start.
When he heard the piano of Right Now.
Right Now. It's... Yeah.
I mean it's
got to be emotional. You know?
It's heavy. And I'm sure it was emotional for David Lee Roth, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's posted some pictures and stuff and haven't really heard from him, you know, per se. But, you know, he was there in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he knew Eddie when he was coming up.
Yeah.
Time, so
there still has to be, I mean, knowing how public their feud was.
Right.
Still has to be some feeling bad about it inside Sammy because, you know,
yeah,
sometimes as time goes on, you realize some of these fights you have with people are just ridiculous, childish when you look at them from a 2020 hindsight view. And he's got to have some regrets maybe about how that whole thing went for a long time.
I'm sure.
Then he just, at the end, hey, I better make amends.
Eddie was a different person back then when he was fired.
Oh, that's right.
He was
too,
fired on Father's Day. Yeah. And Eddie was drinking a lot. And you don't have your clear mind.
No, I don't blame Sammy. So. I don't blame Sam. We know who was struggling, who was the guy that was the issue for the most part. Because Sammy's always been, tried to be, I think, a fair, hardworking, positive guy.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So we absolve him for any past fights he had. And Favaz, I absolve you for any past disagreements that we've ever had.
And I absolve you.
Well, thank you.
It's all a beautiful thing.
Amen. See ya.
Bye. AMF.
The KC Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.